We hope you enjoy this message from St. Martin C3, a location of C3 Church, Christchurch.
And talking about social media, like I was just before, if you are on social media, you'll be very aware that I'm not. I do have a Facebook account just so I can have a look at what you guys are doing, but I don't really engage. I don't post anything. So if you send me a message, if you kind of sent me a friend request and I haven't sort of responded to that, don't be offended by that, okay? I'm just, you know, I think it was about 6 months ago since I was last on Facebook. So, you know, it's not like I'm snobbing you or anything like that. I find it just a fascinating part of our lives that we kind of share a whole lot of stuff. You know, I was with some people the other day and they were taking photos of their food and they're gonna, and I was like going, okay, to me that's just, I better be careful. I just find it really interesting what we share and what we don't share, you know, like there might be something really big and important going on in your life and you don't share that, and then you share something really trivial in it. But everyone's a bit different, aren't they? We're all a bit different as to what we would share with other people and what we don't. Maybe I'm just too much of a private person, I don't know. But have a think about that today. Have a think about if you're sharing with your brothers and sisters in Christ in this church family, how far do you go? What are you willing to share and what are you not willing to share? And as I was thinking about that this week, I was considering the life in the early church and what we see in the New Testament of how they shared life together and what they were encouraged to share with each other and what they weren't. And I thought, now that's a very interesting exercise to go through the New Testament. And there's lots of encouragement in the church community is, hey, share life like this with each other and what they did and what they didn't. So here's some things, and I think let's contrast them with, well, do we do that in the church? Now, one of the obvious ones is love each other, care for each other, be concerned with what each other's going through. And you kind of look at that, and I would hope that there are people around your life and in your connect group and in your church that actually are concerned about what you're going through, okay? I hope that that's the case. So I think, yeah, that happens, that's cool. The other thing we see is that there is encouragement in their faith journey. So the church shared with each other, well, how are you going in your relationship with God and encouraging each other in establishing that relationship and growing in that relationship with God? And I think, yeah, I think I see that happening amongst the groups and the conversations in our church, and I think, yeah, that's awesome, great. I love to see this happening in our church when people are just in clusters and or just one-on-one praying for each other, praying for healing, praying for spiritual breakthrough, or praying for, you know, those challenges that we face in our lives. So some of those sort of things I see in the early church and I see now, and I think that's really cool. But there's a couple more that I think we probably could do a little bit better on, and just see if this resonates with you and you feel makes you feel comfortable, or you might make you feel a little bit uncomfortable today. Is one thing is that the church were encouraged to live holy lives, and they actually opened themselves up to each other to say, "Hey, I'm struggling in this area of following God and staying holy. I'm not doing very well. Can you help me out?" And they confessed their sins to each other. Now, don't panic, because now you're just about to freak out going, you're not going to get me to turn to my neighbour and share my deepest, darkest sins and things like that. Although that would be an... No, we won't go there. But it's interesting that we don't go there. It's something that's not part of our Western culture, is it? It's not kind of the main theme of today's message, but we might look at that some other time. But it was challenging me to me this week to think, yeah, they did do that in the early church. And would we be better off doing that and helping each other in that area? And here's the last area, and it kind of relates to the series that we're looking at the moment. They encouraged each other in their ministry and their mission. And that's a conversation that we might sort of get to eventually, but what we've been looking at over the last few weeks is that we're more intentional about that. It's quite natural for us to possibly share what's going on in our lives and what we need prayer for and things like that, but maybe not so obvious to share, hey, I was reaching out to this person this week and it didn't go so well, and I could really do with some prayer and some help in regard to that. And having those conversations about how we share our lives with other people, well, how we share God's life with other people. The life that God's done in us, as Logan was sharing, the change that he's done in us, and sharing that with other people. That's what ministry is. Ministry isn't just something that the people that get paid to do it do. Ministry is something that we all do as we share God's life with others. But do we intentionally talk about that, how that's going with people around us, and encourage others to encourage us, and we ask about it in their lives? And I think we could do better at that. I think we see it in the early church, and it's something that we'd love to see as a culture, as just part of what we do here at St. Martin C3, is that's part of the topic of conversation. I was talking to someone the other day, and I mentioned this. They said, you know, sometimes it's kind of hard to work out what to talk to about with someone after church. And I said, well, why don't you ask them how their relationship with God's going? And they went, oh man, that's a bit intense, isn't it? And I went, you know, this is church, people. These are the kind of conversations we're meant to have. Let's not just so quickly default to the cricket or the rugby or the news or the weather or whatever is else. We do need to get out of our comfort zones a bit and go, hey, you know, I hear you're going to the prisons and doing this, or you're going into the rest homes and doing that, or you did 0800 Hungry this week. How did that go? Tell me about it. Or I hear you're really praying for your guys at your work or whatever. Tell me about that. How's it going? Can I stand with you in prayer in there? Do you reckon we could do that? It's what we see in the early church, and I think we could do that better as well. And the example we're going to look at today is in Acts chapter 9. We're going to look at this guy, Ananias, the good Ananias, not the bad Ananias, if you're just wondering about which Ananias. This is not Ananias and Sapphira, obviously. Another Ananias who lives in Damascus and is just part of the first emerging church in Damascus. And the context of what's going on here is that the church has been persecuted. We kind of looked at that the other week, that the church was centered in Jerusalem, and then persecution. The authorities started to take them off into prison and say, you can't preach this message. And so the disciples were scattered. You know, the church was scattered to other places. People left before they got thrown into prison. And Saul, who later became Paul, went and he was trying to track these guys down. Even as they're running away, he's going after them and going, I need to get on top of this thing. But as Saul is on his way up to Damascus on the road, he has an encounter with Jesus. And it completely changes his life. Now, Saul knows what's happening, and he realizes the change that's happening in him. But the rest of the church doesn't know about it. They're still thinking this guy is a really dangerous guy. So this is kind of the context. So we pick up the story in Acts chapter 9, verse 10. In Damascus, there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called to him in a vision. Ananias, yes, Lord, he answered. The Lord told him, go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias, you. Come and place his hands on him and restore his sight. Lord, Ananias said, I've heard many reports about this man and all the harm that he has done to your holy people in Jerusalem. And he has come here with authority from the chief priests to arrest all who call on your name. Now, what's going on here? You know, well, you just imagine you're Ananias in this situation. And God comes to you and says, okay, Jonty, there's this guy that's persecuting the church, that's throwing people in prison, killing them if he can. I want you to go chat with him. And you're going, whoa, hang on. You know, and you can understand Ananias' little bit of reluctance here to get out of his comfort zone and go, hang on. He's kind of going, Lord, I don't think, you know, I think you know you're meant to know everything. You may not know this, you know, you don't know who this guy is, like, and what he does. And God's saying, yeah, I know. See, what happens at the end of the story, and we'll get to that a little bit later on, we won't read it just at the moment, but the disciples in Damascus gather Paul in, and they accept him as part of the fellowship. Paul's initial discipleship happens in the church in Damascus because they're willing to embrace him, they're willing to share life with him, and to share what God has put on his heart. And Ananias does become obedient, and it kind of points to how we need to be willing to let people come on into our lives. We need to share life with each other. We can keep things so tight sometimes, but we need to open our lives up. You know, the hard things about ministry and the good things about ministry. It'll be things that we'll share with others and go, man, this was great this week. Jonty and Josh and I were flying up to Auckland on Thursday. Thank you. They put me on my own. You know, I didn't. Josh and Jonty happened to be seating together, and I was stuck in the middle seat on another row. And on the way up, had no opportunity to share with the two women each side of me were not interested in having a conversation with me at all, which I completely appreciate because it was a 6:30 flight in the morning and everyone's like half asleep anyway. But on the way back at night, I had this great opportunity to share with a young lady who was quite open, wasn't she, about she had a spirituality. She said, oh, I don't really go to church, but, you know, and so we got to talking about things. It was a very interesting conversation. And it does take that, just that little bit of courage to go, hey, I'm going to share life with someone else. I'm going to just open up my life to someone else and see what happens. And it was just great encouragement to sort of talk about that with Josh and John afterwards and go, because they were kind of listening to the conversation because they are only a row behind me going, oh, this is going to be very interesting how this goes. What we're looking at in this series is that we as a church, we see ministry as something that we all do and that we all encourage each other in, that it's just a natural part of our conversation where we talk about it together. Just like it was natural for the early church to allow people to come in and share life with them and talk about what ministry looked like and how they could mutually support each other in that ministry. And I'd love to see our church be that sort of church. Where we talk, it's a natural topic of conversation, and we talk about it a lot, and we encourage each other a lot. So Ananias, what happens next? Acts chapter 9, verse 15. But the Lord said to Ananias, go. This man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and to the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name. Wow. Imagine that, and Ananias thinking, okay, this guy's persecuting the church, and he's going to be your chosen agent for spreading the church around the world. Wow. Like, what God was giving Ananias was a prophecy, or a word of knowledge of what was about to happen. God was giving him an insight into how he was going to use Paul and the ministry that Paul was going to have. And as we share with each other, if we open up these conversations and start talking to each other about the ministry that God has placed on our heart, or maybe you're at even a place as you've gone on over these last few weeks where you go, actually, I'm still not sure what that looks like. I'm actually not sure what God wants me to do and how he wants to use me. Well, my encouragement to you would be this: start talking to those around you. Start talking in your connect group and say, hey, what do you think? How do you think God could use me? Because often, here's the thing, we see God working in other people's lives more than they see it in themselves. Because it just comes naturally to them. They don't think too much about it. I don't find it very difficult to have conversations with other people on the plane and about their lives, and you can kind of, you know, find out all about them and then find a kind of a inroad to share the gospel with someone else. Other people, I know half of you are sitting there going, oh man, that would be so freaky. I'd never do that. My wife wouldn't do that easily, you know. And that's okay. That's not your thing. That's okay. That's a ministry that God's given me. But it might be, but what is it for you? So let's have those conversations, because we often see things in other people that they don't see in themselves. So if you're not sure, just be honest about that and say, hey, I'm not really sure how God wants to use me. What do you see that God, how God might use me? And you'll be amazed at how the people who are close to you probably see, have some real insight and can encourage you in that. And as you have those conversations, God will give you a prophetic word, or he'll give you a word of knowledge. And as you speak that into that person's life, it'll resonate with their heart. This is a bit of a risk, but have a think about your life so far, your Christian journey, and has there been a point in your life where you've gone, yeah, I took a major step, I took a step forward in my relationship with God because someone came along and encouraged me in that I could do something that I didn't think I could do. Is there, how many of you are like that? Okay, so quite a few of you. Yeah. So it makes a difference. So if that's been done for you, be aware of what the Spirit of God is saying to you for other people. And let's open up those opportunities in church and in our connect groups where we have those conversations and we impart those insights that God gives us. Because this made a difference. It meant that Ananias went into that situation confident that God was with him. And that Ananias was going to partner with Paul in his ministry. You think of the blessing that Ananias would have had in years to come, hearing about Paul going to Ephesus and Corinth and all these other places and spreading the gospel and going, man, I had a part to play in that. Not in a proud sort of way, but in a fulfilling way that, hey, we're all part of God's plan. You don't know the person that you're sowing into today, what they could do in the future. I'm sure that there were people that spoke into my life years ago that went, oh, I don't really see this on Warren at the moment, but hey, Warren, I see this, and it encouraged me, and now they'd be blessed to see what I'm doing. So be that person. Be the person that's blessing and speaking into other people's lives. So Ananias obeys the Lord and does it. Acts chapter 19, verse 17. Then Ananias went to the house and entered it, placing his hands on Saul. He said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Immediately, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes and he could see again. He got up and he was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength. How cool is that? So Ananias goes and he shares life with Paul and includes Paul in the ministry of the church in Damascus. So he's willing to have that conversation with them. And then he gets a word from God to go and impart that into Paul's life. But here he takes it one step further. He prays with them. Let's have the courage to pray for each other. Just make the offer. So if someone shares something with you, or even if they don't, just say, oh, how's that going? And they go, oh, yeah, it's going like that. Whether good or bad. If it's good, we'll just pray and celebrate with them and pray that God's Spirit continues to bless them in what they're doing and anoint them in what they're doing. Or if they're struggling, well, again, pray. Like, either way, you can't lose. There's always something to pray for, right? So let's do that. And know that as Ananias knew, he had received something from the Spirit of God that he could pass on to others. Know this today, that God has given the authority to you to bless other people with God's Spirit. Now that still blows me away. It boggles my mind that something as simple as prayer is so powerful and so effective. It's like God's chosen to use this thing called prayer to impart his Holy Spirit into people's lives. That's how he does it. Now, I know that there are exceptions to the rule. You know, people are just, you know, sitting in a chair at home or lying on bed at home and just get filled with the Holy Spirit and things like that. But most often, 80, 90% of the times, it's when someone is standing with you in prayer and going, God, impart your life into this person. And it changes you. It empowers you. And if you're standing there in faith, you will receive more of God's life in your life. So why wouldn't you want prayer? You know, you let's say, yeah, bring it on. If someone offers to pray with you, you go, yeah, great, let's do this. Why? Because we know from the scripture that when that happens, dramatic things happen. Just like Ananias does with Saul. He's physically healed. And he also has an impartation of God's Spirit and God's strength. And Saul gets baptized and goes on to minister for God. There is nothing lost in praying for someone. And there is so much to be gained. And I don't understand it all. Even, you know, being in ministry for many years and ministering to people over, you know, most of my life and praying for lots and lots of people, it still surprises me sometimes what God does. But it shouldn't, because he's good. He's amazing. God is an all-powerful God. And it's not about me. It's about what he wants to do through me. And so, you know, don't be reluctant to pray. You don't have to bring someone to someone more holy than you are, okay? You have the same Holy Spirit that Billy Graham had. You've got the same Holy Spirit that any one of these big, powerful ministries have. That same Holy Spirit lives in you, right? Yeah. We agreed with that? You have the same authority to minister in that power of God because you're a child of God as anybody else does. So don't disqualify yourself. Simply pray in faith. Actually, I would say that some of the most dramatic experiences I've had in God have been from people who actually didn't believe that much in prayer. I think I've told you this story many years ago. I was at a Presbyterian church camp, but it doesn't matter what sort of church it was, but it happened to be a Presbyterian church camp. And there was some leaders there. They didn't even believe much in this stuff. They didn't even believe that the Spirit of God would be imparted when they pray. And so, but the speaker did. He was completely convinced of it. And I think it was like the Sunday night of Easter camp meeting and stuff like that. And he talked all about the Holy Spirit and how the Holy Spirit could be imparted when we prayed. And I was like, yeah, man, I'm all for that. Yeah, let's go. And so I responded to the altar call, went up the front to receive prayer. And this guy who prayed for me, it just didn't even believe in this stuff. He actually prayed this prayer. This was his prayer. He goes, God, I don't really believe in this stuff. Like, you know, like, talk about lack of faith, you know. Like, I'm standing there going, okay, that's great, you know. He goes, but God, if this is from you, at least he had some sort of faith. He goes, well, if this is from you and you want to impart your Spirit into Warren now, I pray that you do. And I just hit the deck. Boom, like that. I was just like, God just nailed me, you know. And I think I didn't see what happened because I had my eyes closed. But everyone else was just told me that later. He just stood there like, what just happened there, you know? So, you know, God will use you whether you're faith-filled or not, actually, because he just loves to respond to prayer. So we can do this, can't we, as a church? Where we have what we do for God, how we share God's life with other people, just part of our conversation. It's just part of what we talk about after church when we connect with each other. We ask God, what are you giving me? Is there a word of encouragement that I can give to this person as they're sharing with me? And God will often give you insights, even as the person's talking, that you can encourage them with. And then pray for them. Say, yeah, let's pray together. Let's do this. In particular, you'll notice in your notes this week that I haven't given you questions to do for your connect groups. There is a deliberate reason for that. I don't want you to have a big discussion in your connect groups over the next week or two, or whenever your connect group's meeting. Why don't you try this in your connect groups over the next week or two? Here's the challenge. Is that why don't you put someone in the middle of the group, and you'll take turns at this, and they share about how God ministers his life through them, or what's on their heart to do, and then you pray for them. And see what God gives you, and bless them, and just lay hands on them and pray for them, because the Spirit of God will be imparted and will anoint them for the ministry that God has for them. Can we do that? You do that in your connect groups in the next week or two. I think it'll be a really powerful thing to do.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. To learn more about our church, visit c3chch.org.